Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. If you know it, please join in. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but when I sing those words, I can't help but end up with a smile on my face. The sheer joy, the delight, the spirit of celebration. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Today we're going to reflect for a few moments on Psalm 96. We often don't reflect or preach on the Psalms very much, and yet I love the Psalms because they speak to us a message that is timeless throughout all time. And that's because they were written by individuals who were ordinary human individuals, men and women just like you and me. They weren't put up on a pedestal. They lived everyday lives with everyday experiences. And I think that's why their writings, whether they be prayers or hymns, are so meaningful to us today, because they come right out of the experiences of their lives. And so today we reflect on Psalm 96. I love that God invites us to sing. And God invites us to sing no matter how good our voices are. God invites us to sing whether we've got a trained voice or not. God invites us to sing even if it's off key. We may feel embarrassed, we may feel self-conscious, but our singing is always beautiful to God's ears, whether we believe it or not. Did you know that there are over 185 songs in the Bible? 80% of them are in the Psalms, and that's why we try to sing the Psalms, because the Psalms, for the most part, were hymns sung in the worship of God's people. Moses was the one who sang the first song after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea safely. There are the songs of Solomon, the wonderful Magnificat sung by Mary, the song of Zechariah after he couldn't speak for so long and his son was born, Hannah's prayer, the song of Miriam, and so many, many more. Singing has always been an important part of the experience of worship and our praise to God, and it remains a significant part of our liturgical experience today. And that, to me, is also singing, and I love it. I love it. And it fits right in with the rest of our songs, too. I remember I had a priest that I worked with once at a funeral, and I was at the funeral observing how to do a funeral when I first started, and there was a baby who cried, and the mother started to leave, and the priest said to her, "Don't take him out. The child has more things to say than I do." So I love the sound, the song of a child, for sure. We all have our favorite hymns, don't we? So what are your favorite hymns? You raise me up on eagle's wings. In Christ there is no east or west. When morning gilds the sky, crown him with many crowns. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Ode to joy. Morning has broken. And we could probably go on all morning. I know if I were to take up the time of my sermon to tell you what my favorite hymns are, I wouldn't talk about anything else. Because when someone says to me, "Mark, what's your favorite hymn?" I can't decide. I have way too many. I'm sure we sing one of my favorite hymns every single Sunday. There are so many. And so when you think about the hymns that are your favorites, what is it that draws you to them? Why are they your favorites? There's no wrong answer. The wording. So artistry and creativity. And that God made that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Anything else about what motivates us to appreciate or say a hymn is our favorite hymn? The message and the music. Yeah. The proclamation. For sure. Many of the hymns that we would have listed are what I would refer to as the old chestnuts. That are passed down from generation to generation. And that's part of the beauty of those hymns in our repertoire. Because they've been passed down from generation to generation. And they are timeless in the message that is proclaimed. And some of them are more contemporary. Written more recently. In the last century or maybe even in this century. Now that we're 16 years into it. We sing hymns because they have meaning for us. We sing hymns because they inspire us. We sing hymns because they affirm us and they affirm our relationships with God. We sing hymns because they challenge us to faithfulness. Some of the hymns we sing are love songs, and some of the hymns we sing are laments. Some are gloriously hopeful. Others remind us of our need of God's forgiveness and grace. Some tell a specific story. But whichever hymn we talk about that is our favorite hymn, and all the others that we sing too, even the ones we may not like, each and every one of them speaks something about God's grace in one way or another. As you may know, I enjoy writing the words to hymns that go to traditional tunes, building up a contemporary repertoire. And for me, it's a creative expression of relevant themes or stories of our faith or a significant spiritual experience. The offertory hymn that we will sing today, I wrote recently while I was on retreat in New York, inspired by God in the holiness of that place, out of the experience of the holiness and the sacred, full of moments of grace. Music is the expression of so much of who we are. It expresses what we believe, how we feel. It's an expression of who God is for us and all God has done for us, especially through His Son, Jesus Christ. The hymns we sing are about our relationship with one another as the body of Christ and our call to serve one another and the world that is around us. Music touches us in the depths of our souls. It inspires some kind of reaction within us. It draws us mysteriously into the incredible holiness of God. Because we hear that melody not just with our ears, but in our hearts too. Music is an important way of expressing ourselves. It can be a means of escape. It can reflect the mood that we might be in at a certain time, and it might even affect the mood we feel at a certain time. Think of how somber the music is on Good Friday, and the experience that that invites us into, the solemnity of that holy day. And think then about 3 days later of how full of joy our music is on Easter morning. The alleluias that we proclaim with boldness and with conviction. And the experience that that invites us into. It's all part of the same story. It's all part of the same witnessing and proclaiming. Inspiring in us the depths of God's relationship with us. And the love that God has for us. Our psalm for this morning, Psalm 96, starts off, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." Or to quote Eugene Peterson's The Message, "Sing God a brand new song. Earth and everyone in it, sing, sing to God." And why are we to sing a new song? because we have experienced something of God's infinite glory. We look around and we recognize God's marvelous works. We've seen the greatness of God. And those are the very words that the psalmist, him or herself, used. And because of that experience that happens not just once in our lives, but over and over and over again, something in us is changed every single time. We are transformed. We are different than we were before the holy and the sacred experience or encounter. And the psalmist is clear. We're not to keep it all to ourselves. The psalmist says, tell the earth, tell all the people, tell all the nations. And in so doing, what are we doing? We invite them into that experience where God can touch them too. Our singing is our response to the sacred story of how God has touched our lives through Jesus Christ. It is the ancient and sacred text of our faith coming to life in a beautiful melody with beautiful harmony. It is our testimony, our witnessing, individually and collectively, to what we believe. It is our witnessing and our testimony of how God has, how God is, and how God will yet act. We are saying this is the joy that we have experienced. This is the hope that we hold on to, and this is the promise that God has blessed us with. And in truth, none of that is constant throughout our lives. It is always new, it is always growing. All we need to do is be attentive to the grace that God gives us, moment by moment by moment. God, who invites us more profoundly every time to recognize the infinite love and mercy that God feels for us who are called His children. And when we're having those new experiences of God's grace and God's goodness, how can we only sing the old songs? How can we need to sing the new ones too, and not literally the songs that are in our hymn books, but the songs that are in our hearts, that reflect the joy of what God has done for us today, in this moment of right now. I wonder, as we sing our hymns, what story is God speaking through our singing? What testimony are we proclaiming through the songs of our faith? What's the new song that God is inviting us to sing today, right here, right now? And all out of who we have experienced God to be in the intimacy of our own lives, in the faith that has been developed within us, shared together in community with one another as the body of Christ. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to do this. But if I distributed a piece of paper to each of you and asked you to begin writing a new song for God, just think about that. If it was based on your past week or anticipating the week to come, I wonder, how would you begin? What message would your original song give? What words would you use? How would you express your feelings about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Some good questions to take away and think about and ponder as you write your song to the Lord. A Swedish proverb says, those who wish to sing always find a song. Always. We have so many songs to sing, so many stories to tell, so much joy and faith to proclaim, because God is at work in us, in each and every one of us. In each and every one of our lives, each and every day of our lives. And that's such good news. That's such a profound gift. And to go a step further, remember this. God gives us the means to be able to express our faith that has been given to us. God gives us the new song in our heart and the new song that is on our lips. And God blesses us with the Spirit that won't allow us to keep it bottled up inside. God is always up to something. And it is something profound, and it is something mysterious, and it is something that is awesome. God is always, each and every day, doing something new. So much so that we can't keep singing the same old songs. As we live out our lives being faithful, inspired, challenged, loved, and forgiven by God, there's no way God wants us to become a broken record, playing the same song over and over and over again. And when we are faithful, the song that we sing will always be a hit, because it'll be inspired not by ourselves out of our own ego, but rather by God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's sing the song that God has given us to sing. It may be one of the old traditional ones, the chestnuts that mean so much to us. It may be contemporary, written in the last year or so. Or it may be the one that you yourself write this morning. But let's always hear the call of God through the psalmist. Let's sing the story of our faith with joy and with delight. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to join with me again. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. And now may indeed that be the song that is stuck in your head all day today and throughout the rest of your days, for it will bring glory to God and joy to God's heart too. Amen.